RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headlines, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, and this is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Lengthy recruitment process with expensive costs become a major cause of Indonesian citizens become illegal workers in Malaysia. The agreement of Indonesia-Egypt and Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla demands ASEAN join patrol in Malacca. Now the news in detail. The Malaysian government concerned about the number of migrant workers in Malaysia that have potential to mastering the country's economy. Data from Ministry of Human Resources of Malaysia in 2014, the number of migrant workers reached 6.7 million people, or 22.3% of the population of the country. Meanwhile, according to the data, a number of illegal migrant workers of 2.5 million and 54% were from Indonesia, or about 1.3 million people of them are illegal migrant workers. Deputy Ambassador of Indonesia in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Hermono, on Tuesday, August 11, 2015, said the cost of a lot of illegal workers coming to Malaysia to utilize easier facilities such as visa-free, but has been misused. This was to avoid the recruitment process in Indonesia that takes a long time and higher costs. In addition, the high demand for labor followed by lacking law enforcement, especially for Malaysian citizens who violate the rights of migrant workers, become the cause of many illegal workers coming to Malaysia. For the last case, Hermono recognized his side has repeatedly urged Malaysia to implement strict sanctions for its citizens as an employer. Hermono added, at least every day, the Royal Malaysian Police conduct raids against illegal foreign workers to be repatriated. The latest data owned by Malaysian government, the number of Indonesian citizens who are deported via Johor Bahru, Tanjung Pinang during 2015 were more than 12,000 people, 198 of whom are children. The government hope the facility offered by Malaysia currently not misused as an illegal workers. As the first countries to recognize the independence of Indonesia, Egypt and Indonesia has a lot of bilateral agreements, but such agreements rarely implemented in reality. Head of Information, Social and Cultural Embassy in Cairo, Lauti Suteja, on Monday in Cairo said Indonesia and Egypt have agreements since 1947, including diplomatic cooperation agreement. Furthermore, there are a number of other agreements such as politics, economy, education and culture signed by President Sukarno with Abdel Gamal Nasser. However, this agreement, according to Lauti, has not yet implemented optimally. Accordingly, the Indonesian embassy in Cairo encouraged Jakarta and Egypt to renew a number of existing agreements, particularly social and cultural agreements, to promote cooperation and mutual benefit. Moreover, Lauti said, One of the agreements which should be upgraded is air transport agreement.
Hubungan antara dua negara ini dengan mengimplementasikan berbagai.
The relationship between the two countries has good by implementing various agreements, meaning that the governments of both countries equally have the political will to enable the agreement to be useful for both countries. We start reactivating the agreements between Indonesia and Egypt. From the side of Indonesia, it is profitable.
Dari sisi Indonesia itu menguntungkan.
Indonesian embassy in Cairo viewed that the relationship between Indonesia and Egypt fairly well, but it looks lame. Indonesia saw Egypt is a strategic partner in the Middle East and Africa. Although not necessarily vice versa, it can be seen from the official visit of the president. Indonesia has been held 12 times the president's visit to Egypt, but from Egypt to Indonesia only 2 times. Indonesian embassy in Cairo, Egypt, continues to monitor the Indonesian citizens who currently live in Palestine. To ensure their safety in Palestine, Head of Information, Social and Culture of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Lauti Suteja, said there have been a number of Indonesian citizens living in Palestine. They are workers who build hospitals or NGOs that assist the Palestinians. Before crossing into Palestine through Rafah Gate, Egypt, the Indonesian citizens have to report first to the Indonesian embassy in Cairo to obtain a letter of introduction from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs through the Indonesian embassy in Cairo. In addition, if they get out of Palestine through Rafah Gate, they also must have a letter of recommendation from the Indonesian embassy in Cairo. Thus, the Indonesian citizens in Palestine are continuously monitored. According to Lauti, recently there were about 30 Indonesian citizens who came out of Rafah Gate after they worked on the construction of a hospital in Gaza, Palestine. If there is no one picking them up at Rafah Gate, the Indonesian embassy is also ready to help pick them up and take them to Cairo. Lauti revealed Indonesia continues to help the Palestinians to have an independent and sovereign life. This has been outlined since 1955 when the Asia-Africa Conference in Bandung, West Java was held.
So we do continue to support the Palestinian independence. It is the price that cannot be negotiable. Since 1955, when there was the first Asian-African conference in Bandung, the Palestinian issue, especially the support for the independence of the Palestinian people, was one of the main things promoted by Indonesia.
Meanwhile, after the burning of a Palestinian's house, which killed an 18-month-old baby and the baby's father, the Palestine's current condition has been highlighted by the international world. Moreover, there is also solidarity action by the Palestinians by holding demonstrations. The international community hopes the arsonists, suspected to be Israeli citizens, will immediately be arrested and prosecuted. The Indonesian community living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the United States, is holding the Indonesian Week. The event is to be held for 6 days since 10th to 15th of August at the five places: the Philadelphia Mayor Office, the Art Museum, Love Park, Bethany Miracle Center, and International Bethel Church. The Indonesian Week was started by raising red and white flag on the mayor's office yard on Monday. Indonesian Consul General Gafur Dharmaputra said that the event was a recognition effort of Indonesian society towards local people in Philadelphia.
Itu kita tunjukkan bahwa ada kontribusi.
We are showing our contribution as Indonesian people stay in Philadelphia. They wanted to show their identity. Besides the flag raising, there will be traditional dance performances. The dance itself is part of effort to show their existence. It will be attended by not only Indonesian people, but also foreign people, especially to introduce Indonesia to American community.
Dan disaksikan bukan hanya komunitas Indonesia, tapi asing juga, Pak. Dan khususnya memperkenalkan Indonesia kepada komunitas Amerika.
Introducing Indonesia toward foreign people should be encouraged not only by the government, but moreover by the society. According to Consul General Gafur Dharmaputra, it is part of the total diplomacy that has been run especially in the working area of New York.
Nah, jadi kalau saya istilahnya,
the effort to promote Indonesia not only conducted by the government or the Indonesian consulate in this regard, but also by the Indonesian Student Association or PERMIAS. Besides the government and the student, we also work together with social community and religious community as well. It is kind of total diplomacy.
In addition to raising the red and white flag on the Philadelphia's mayor office, the Indonesian Week event will also be enlivened by the batik workshop, fashion show, traditional music and dance performance, food bazaar and medical checkup. The event will also be enlivened by the consular point opened by the Indonesian Consulate General New York to facilitate consular purposes, namely passport replacement, passport renewal, as well as self-report for Indonesian people stayed in Philadelphia and its surrounding areas. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel has appointed the National Logistics Agency Bulog to import beef. Minister Gobel will issue a license to import 50,000 cattle from Australia to reduce price. Gobel said this policy was made after a meeting with the Agriculture Ministry, Bulog and the police on Monday. He said he is ready to cooperate to monitor domestic cattle production. Gobel continued that this import is the last resort to maintain beef stocks following strikes by beef merchants in several regions as a protest due to supply shortage. Agriculture Minister Amra Sulaiman declined to comment on the import license. Based on the procedure, import license issued by the Trade Ministry must be based on recommendation letter from the Agriculture Ministry. He has surveyed feedlots for cattle. The result is that the national cattle stock has reached 160,000, which are enough for the next 4 months. Mulyaman Haddad, chairman of the Financial Services Authority (OJK), said that the Indonesian capital market industry developed into an important funding alternative. The capital market is able to provide long-term financing that can cover the banks for banks' limitation in doing so. Over the past 5 years, Haddad said, capital markets managed to pull in 595 trillion rupiah from bond and stock issuances. Haddad said, when attending the 38th anniversary of the Indonesia Stock Exchange IDX on Monday, August 10th, that the capitalization of at the beginning of August had almost reached 5,000 trillion rupiah, an increase of more than 60% in 5 years. On the occasion, Haddad urged state-owned enterprises and private firms to utilize the capital market as a place to mobilize their investments. President Joko Widodo, who also attended the event, asked capital market players that doubt his infrastructure development agenda to look directly at the construction progress. He wants market participants to have faith in and believe that the government is pursuing infrastructure growth. The last item, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has proposed ASEAN countries to form a joint patrol team to guard the Malacca Strait, which is prone to piracy and human trafficking. The most recent case involves Singaporean vessel MT Joachim. Kalla stressed the importance of cooperation in effort to stop piracy. MT Joachim, which was carrying 2,900 tons of crude oil, was hijacked on Saturday and forced to sail to North Rupat waters in Bengkalis Riau by a group of armed men that later took the ship load. The ship was found a day later by Malaysian patrol team. One of the 8 crew members was severely injured. Witnesses said that the men who robbed the ship escaped on a ship named MT Karisma 9. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Lengthy recruitment process with expensive costs become a major cause of Indonesian citizens become illegal workers in Malaysia. The agreement of Indonesia-Egypt. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla demands ASEAN joint patrol in Malacca. That was the news.
Here is today's commentary on media are expected to play a role in creating quality local elections. I'm Dalat Pane. Currently, the Election Commission has extended the registration of candidates for regional head elections, which will be simultaneously carried out on December 9. It is the way out to address single candidate in seven regions. According to schedule, the Election Commission will set the candidate on August 24, 2015, and the campaign period on August 27 to December 5, 2015. There are at least 269 areas will hold local elections on December 9, 2015. In the simultaneous local elections on December 9, there are two aspects that will be at stake. First, whether the local elections in 269 regions will be run safely, smoothly and clean, or to be colored by the conflict of supporters at the grassroots. Second, concerning quality local leaders as the product of the simultaneous local elections. All parties hope that the democratic festivity on December 9 will run safely and be able to produce quality leaders. Here, the role of the press becomes extremely important, so the democratic festivity in this nation held securely and are able to produce quality local leaders. The role of the press is very important, especially in the campaign period. In order to make the democratic festivity run safely and produce local leaders, the press must run journalistic duties in accordance with the Code of Ethics of Journalism. Article 1 of the Code of Journalism said that Indonesian journalist is independent to produce news that is accurate, balanced, and does not act in bad faith. In the aforementioned article also mentioned what is meant by independent, accurate, balanced, and not malice. Independent means preaching events or facts according to the voice of conscience without interference, coercion, and the intervention of other parties, including the owner of a news company. Accurate means true to the objective circumstances when the event occurs. Balanced means that all parties get equal opportunity. Does not act in bad faith means no deliberate intention and solely to inflict losses to other party. The independence of the press during the passage of the stages towards the democratic festivity is very important. Press shall not favor any person or group of people in the process of publication. The press must keep a balanced information, especially citing openly for the political purposes of candidates. One of the impacts of not independent news is the potential for friction among supporters of each candidate at the grassroots level. The independence of the press is also highly expected, so that the local elections will produce quality local leaders. The press in this case should be able to give a sense of fear to people not involved in the practice of vote buying, because the practice of vote buying will make a candidate who has money to win the election and get rid of qualified candidates. The press must be balanced, publish its vision, mission, and programs of the candidates, not just an imaging media for candidates who have a lot of money. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with 2003. Jamaah Islamiyah leader Ridwan Isamuddin, better known as Hambali, is arrested in Bangkok, Thailand. Ridwan Isamuddin, also better known by the nom de guerre Hambali, and was born as Encep Nurjaman on April 4, 1964, is the former military leader of the Indonesian terrorist organization Jamaah Islamiyah, or JI, which is linked with Al-Qaeda. He is now in extrajudicial detention in the United States' Guantanamo Bay detainment camps in Cuba. Hanbali was often described as the Osama bin Laden of Southeast Asia. Some media reports describe him as bin Laden's lieutenant for Southeast Asia operations. Other reports describe him as an independent peer. He was highly trusted by Al-Qaeda and was the main link between the two organizations. Hanbali was a close friend of Khalid Saiq Mohammed, who planned Operation Bojinka and the September 11 terrorist attack. Hanbali envisions creating a Muslim state in the form of an Islamic superpower, a theocracy, across Southeast Asia with himself as its leader, or caliphate. His ambition was to rule Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei Darussalam, and parts of the Philippines, Myanmar, and Thailand. He received increasing attention in the aftermath of the 2002 Bali nightclub bombing, in which 202 people died. According to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, he served as the third in command of Al-Qaeda from the 2003 capture of Khalid Saiq Mohammed to his own capture in 2005. He was eventually apprehended in a joint operation by the CIA and Thai police. He is currently imprisoned in Guantanamo Bay Detention Center in Cuba after 3 years of CIA custody in a secret location. Next is from 2003. 2. NATO takes over the command of the peacekeeping force in Afghanistan, making its first major operation outside Europe in its 54-year history. NATO took command of the 5,000-strong international peacekeeping force in the Afghan capital of Kabul on August 11, 2003, its first ground mission outside Europe since it was created 54 years ago. The International Security Assistance Force, or ISAF, was a NATO-led security mission in Afghanistan established by the United Nations Security Council in December 2001 by Resolution 1386 as envisaged by the Bonn Agreement. Its main purpose was to train the Afghan National Security Forces and assist Afghanistan in rebuilding the key government institution, but was also engaged in the 2001 until present war with the Taliban insurgency. ISAF was initially charged with securing Kabul and the surrounding areas from the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and factional warlords to allow for the establishment of the Afghan Transitional Administration headed by Hamid Karzai. In October 2003, the UN Security Council authorized the expansion of the ISAF mission throughout Afghanistan, and ISAF subsequently expanded the mission in 4 main stages over the whole of the country. ISAF ceased combat operation and was disbanded in December 2014 with some troops remaining. Last event is from 1960. Chad declares independence. Chad, officially the Republic of Chad, is a landlocked country in Central Africa. Chad is divided into multiple regions, a desert zone in the north, an arid Sahelian belt in the center, and a more fertile Sudanian savanna zone in the south. France conquered the territory by 1920 and incorporated it as part of the French Equatorial Africa. In 1960, Chad obtained independence under the leadership of François Tombalbaye, but independent Chad remains plagued by political violence and destabilized the nation, with hundreds of thousands of Sudanese refugees living in and around camps in eastern Chad. Chad is one of the poorest and most corrupt countries in the world. Most inhabitants live in poverty as subsistence herders and farmers. Since 2003, crude oil has become the country's primary source of export earnings, superseding the traditional cotton industry. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on death penalty for the corrupt. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The Attorney General Office supports the recommendation of the recent Congress of the two biggest Indonesian Islamic organizations, Muhammadiyah and the Nahdlatul Ulama, that mentioned the need for application of the death penalty against criminals in Indonesia. The threat of the death penalty is considered feasible for the murderers, illicit drug manufacturers, suppliers and dealers, robbers and corruptors. The Nahdlatul Ulama considers corruptors deserve to be given death penalty because the impact of their actions can cause tremendous loss on the state. Responding to this, Deputy Attorney General for Special Crimes Widyo Pramono said, the Indonesian positive law has given room for the application of the death penalty for corruptors as long as it has met the formal legal requirements. According to Widyo Pramono, Indonesia is a state of law, so it must respect the law. He explained that corruptor can be sentenced to death if he has been convicted for corruption before conducting his crime while the country is in danger, in a natural disasters, or when the country is experiencing an economic crisis. Related to this, the Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, Tejo Edi Purdiatno, said the government will study the recommendations regarding the death penalty for murderers, robbers, drug dealers and corrupt, and promised to deal with it as best as he could. Meanwhile, former Acting Attorney General Darmono reminded the government to be careful in applying the death penalty for corruptors. According to him, the selection process for a defendant to be sentenced to death should be done carefully so as to avoid controversy that may arise in the future. According to him, severe punishment would be given to any person convicted of corruption. Regulation contained in Law No. 31/1999 on eradication of corruption is considered sufficient to underlie the application of the death penalty, especially since it has become a national agreement. What is important, the law is applied fairly in accordance to the nature and the impact of the crime. Well, that was Focus today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on death penalty for the corrupt.
Hello listener, here is the headline from several national newspapers published today, Tuesday, August 11, 2015. We start from Kompas in its headline, writes about the government handling beef scarcity. To overcome beef scarcity, the government will immediately import 50,000 cows from Australia. Meanwhile, to meet the market necessity, state-owned logistics agency Bulog continue to conduct market operation. Coordinating Minister for Economy Sofian Jalil in Jakarta on Monday said, for middle and long terms, need to modify distribution pattern of handing cattle to farmers, which was conducted during the previous government era, but still not effectively run, and giving optimal result for the availability of beef. Meanwhile, Media Indonesia in its headlines still writes about beef scarcity. To lowering beef prices that skyrocketing to 130,000 to 140,000 rupiah per kilogram, the government assigned Bulog to import 50,000 cattle ready for slaughter. The assignment to Bulog was the step of short or temporary term while waiting for the arrival of cattle at the end of the month. Bulog hold market operations with the existing stocks. Republika Daily writes about the government provides artificial rain. The National Disaster Management Agency, BNPB, will follow drought in some areas by setting artificial rain. The artificial rain will be carried out this week. The government has allocated 200 billion rupiah to implement weather engineering. Head of BNPB, Samsul Ma'arif, in Jakarta Monday explained, BNPB has set a number of points of artificial rain, including in Central Java, West Java, Lampung, and West Nusa Tenggara. Now we conclude with Koran Sindo, which writes in its headline about Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show 2015 is accounted in the international world. The exhibition of Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show 2015
begin to be accounted in the international world. The biggest automotive exhibition in Southeast Asia is not only held to support automotive industry, but also to strengthen Gaikindo as the only owner of international automotive exhibition in Indonesia. Minister of Industry Saleh Hussein in Jakarta on Monday said, the organizer of Gaikindo Indonesia International Auto Show 2015 will introduce automotive industry in Indonesia, which is able to compete in the international world. Listener, that was Headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to News in Brief. The Malaysian government concerned about the number of migrant workers in Malaysia that have potential to mastering the country's economy. Data from Ministry of Human Resources of Malaysia, in 2014, the number of migrant workers reached 6.7 million people, or 22.3% of the population of the country. According to data, a number of illegal migrant workers of 2.5 million and 54% were from Indonesia, or about 1.3 million people of them are illegal migrant workers. As the first countries to recognize the independence of Indonesia, Egypt and Indonesia has a lot of bilateral agreements, but such agreements rarely implemented in reality. Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, continues to monitor the Indonesian citizens who currently live in Palestine. To ensure their safety in Palestine, Head of Information, Social and Culture of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Lauti Suteja, said there have been a number of Indonesian citizens living in Palestine. They are workers who build hospitals or NGOs that assist the Palestinians. The Indonesian community living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the United States, is holding the Indonesian Week. The event is to be held for 6 days since 10th to 15th of August. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel has appointed the National Logistics Agency to import beef. Minister Gobel will issue a license to import 50,000 cattle from Australia to reduce price. Mulyaman Haddad, chairman of the Financial Services Authority, said that the Indonesian capital market industry developed into an important funding alternative. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has proposed ASEAN countries to form a joint patrol team to guard the Malacca Strait, which is prone to piracy and human trafficking. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, you're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting live from frequency of 9525 kHz and audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion and criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment Indonesia Wonder and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra Province, visiting Goa Jepang or Japanese cave, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Listener, a few years before independence, Indonesia was colonized by Japan from 1942 to 1945. Evidence of the Japanese occupation can still be found in various regions in Indonesia. One of them can be found in Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. There is a Japanese hole or Japanese cave that was built when the Japanese colonial period functioned as a refuge. It was built from 1942 to 1945 by the local people who forcibly employed by Japanese soldiers. The cave has 1.47 kilometers long with 21 small hallways. Goa Jepang, or Japanese Cave, is located in Sihanouk Hill, Bukit Tinggi, in the area of Panorama Park, Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. Access to entering Goa Jepang is through the entrance gate of the Panorama Park. Although previously there were two other entrance ways, namely the direction of Sihanouk Canyon Road and beside Bung Hatta Palace, but now the two entrance ways were closed. By paying admission of 8,000 rupiah, tourists can explore the 1,470 meters cave. Bringing a guide is recommended in order not to get lost in the hallways, which all look exactly the same. To get to the Goa Jepang from Padang, capital of West Sumatra, the trip can be taken for 2 hours to Bukit Tinggi to use public transportation or private transportation. Then arriving in Bukit Tinggi, for those who use public transportation, the trip would be followed by Transportation City to Goa Jepang. Listener, entering Goa Jepang or Japanese cave from the entrance gate, you must descend 130 stairs to the flat cave, located about 40 meters below the ground level. Formerly, the driveway was once the size of a car tire, because once it became a reconnaissance hole. The walls of the cave are not flat, but undulating. You will firstly see the hall that was used as a munitions storage room on the right side. In the hall, you will come out after being around the cave to go back to the entrance, which also functioned as the exit way. After the military booth, on the right side, you will find a alley with the same function. After that, you will find two other alleys also with the same function. Listener, going more inside, the alley grew cold and damp. However, the journey has not been completed. When arriving at the end of the first hallway, there is a T-junction. Turn left, you will find a courtroom that was used to judge indigenous fighters. There is also a branch of the hall which will be used as scientific museum. Moving forward, you will find the main alley bearing pintu pelarian or escape door with a glimmer of light from the fence cave. Before arriving in the hall, there is endless hallway in a prison hallway that was used for releasing the Japanese enemies. On the right side, there is a room with a kitchen, reconnaissance holes at the top, and a small hole right at the bottom, which was used as a storage the bodies of prisoners who died of torture. End of the hole empty in the Sihanouk River.
Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Lubang Jepang or Gua Jepang or Japanese Cave. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is ditraktir teman or in English treated by a friend for some meal. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Ditraktir. Ditraktir in English, to be treated. Teman. Teman in English, friend. Pulang kantor. Pulang kantor, after office. Tunggu. Tunggu, to wait. Tempat parkir. Tempat parkir, parking lot. Makan, makan, to eat. Restoran, restoran, restaurant. Pesan, pesan, to order. Steak ayam, steak ayam, chicken steak. Steak sapi, steak sapi, beef steak. Pakai, pakai, with or using. Kentang goreng, kentang goreng, french fries. Kentang yang dihancurkan, kentang yang dihancurkan, mashed potato. Tidak suka, tidak suka, do not like. Saus jamur, saus jamur, mushroom sauce. Sayur bayam, spinach. Enak sekali, very delicious. Saus lada hitam, black pepper sauce. Matang, matang, well done. Minuman, minuman, drink or beverage. Isi ulang, refill. Es teh lemon, iced lemon tea. Tidak pakai es, tidak pakai es, without ice. Pesanan, pesanan, order, noun. Terlalu lama, too long. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Vivi and Andy in the office. Apakah kamu ingat hari ini pulang kantor kamu akan mentraktir saya makan steak? Apakah kamu ingat hari ini pulang kantor kamu akan mentraktir saya makan steak? In English, do you remember that today after office you are going to treat me to a steak? Pasti ingat, sure I remember. Kamu tunggu saja di tempat parkir ya. Kamu tunggu saja di tempat parkir ya. We just wait at the parking lot, okay? At the steak restaurant. Kamu mau pesan apa? Kamu mau pesan apa? In English, what is your order? Steak ayam atau steak sapi? In English, chicken or beef steak? Saya mau steak sapi.
Saya mau steak sapi. In English, I'd like some beef steak. Pakai kentang. Pakai kentang. With potato. Tetapi saya mau kentang yang dihancurkan. Tetapi saya mau kentang yang dihancurkan. In English, but I want mashed potato. Saya tidak suka kentang goreng. Saya tidak suka kentang goreng. In English, I don't like French fries. Sausnya saus jamur. Sausnya saus jamur. In English, with mushroom sauce. Di sini sayurnya pakai sayur bayam. Di sini sayurnya pakai sayur bayam. In English, here the vegetable is spinach. Enak sekali. Enak sekali. Very delicious. Kalau kamu mau pesan apa? Kalau kamu mau pesan apa? How about you? What is your order? Saya mau pesan steak sapi. Saya mau pesan steak sapi. In English, I'd like some beef steak. Pakai kentang goreng. Pakai kentang goreng. With French fries. Saya pilih saus lada hitam. Saya pilih saus lada hitam. I prefer black pepper sauce. Saya mau yang matang. Saya mau yang matang. In English, well done please. Oh ya, di sini minumannya boleh isi ulang. Oh ya, di sini minumannya boleh isi ulang. In English, oh yes, here you can have free refill drink. Saya mau minum es teh lemon. Saya mau minum es teh lemon. In English, I'd like iced lemon tea. Kamu mau minum apa? Kamu mau minum apa? What do you want to drink? Saya juga minum es teh lemon, tetapi tidak pakai es. Saya juga minum es teh lemon, tapi tidak pakai es. In English, I also have cold lemon tea, but without ice. Pelayan, ini pesanan kami. Pelayan, ini pesanan kami. In English, waiter, here is our order. Jangan terlalu lama ya. Jangan terlalu lama ya. In English, don't be too long please. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. That was That Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present an Indonesian pop singer, Judika. Well listener, now let's listen to a song entitled Apakah Ini Cinta? By Judika. Here is the song.
Di saat malam, langit tanpa bintang coba menggoyahkanku, merapuhkanku di sini. Ku coba tegar kini tanpa dirimu kasih yang selalu menemani. Cintaku kau abaikan, kau beri air mata. Apakah ini
luka, kau goreskan di dada. Teringat janji dulu, takkan pernah berpisah, walau sedetik saja. Cintaku kau abaikan, kau beri air mata. Apakah ini cinta? Bila tak sama
Yurika's name in the music world in this country is very familiar. All this because Yurika can show that he is able to achieve success in the music world with hard work and perseverance. Yurika, who was born on August 31, 1978, is starting his musical career when he followed the singing talent competition in 2005. From this, Yurika's life changed drastically when he won the runner-up in the competition. His career is also more developed when he is in a solo career by releasing his own album. Up to now, he has 4 albums, and it can be said that Yurika is a successful singer after following the singing competition. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song entitled Maafkan Aku or Forgive Me by Yurika. Happy listening.
Bersamamu jalani cinta yang menggebu, sepertinya tak terpisah. Tapi tak cukup untukmu, waktu dan perhatianku selalu salah di depanmu. Dan
listener, in 2007, Yurika officially released his debut album in the music world after releasing an album entitled Satu, meaning one. His first album contains 10 tracks with the latest song displayed pop and rock songs which are in accordance with the characteristic of his voice. In 2010, Yurika released an album named Setengah Mati Merindu. With the presence of this second album, Yurika continues to consistently work in the music world, and this album is successful and is very popular with several songs. With the hit songs are like Setengah Mati Merindu and Aku Yang Tersakiti. Yurika got success in the third album released in 2013 with the name of the album Mencari Cinta. And we know this third album is an album that is very special in Yurika's life because this album is an album that almost all the songs contained on the Yurika's love story experience before everything could be going according to the plan. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Merelakannya and Sampai Kau Jadi Milikku. Happy listening.
Sejak kau pergi, sejak kau tinggalkanku, aku tak mengerti mengapa salahku terjatuh di cintamu. Kebodohanku percaya janjimu. Bila akhirnya tak bisa ku dapatkan buktinya, bila hatimu bukan untukku,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.